You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer. Today, we're going to be chatting about automation, sales, and we're probably going to go in some directions that I'm not yet aware of, nor is my guest. My guest, by the way, is named Kevin Snow, and he is joining me to talk, we think, about the role that automation has the potential to play in sales. But as we've just discussed before we hit record, we're not entirely sure where this conversation is going to go, and I'm sort of excited about that. So stay tuned. In the meantime, hello, Kevin.
Hi, David. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm really excited to be here today.
Hey, you know, you are a fellow podcaster. You've got about the same number of episodes posted as I do at this point. I'm curious, before we get into the automation thing, to hear a little bit about what that podcast journey has been like for you, and why you are hosting, or I should say co-hosting, the Awesome Growth Mode podcast.
So I actually hadn't done any podcasting prior to that. I may have like appeared on one, but I'd never actually had my own show. I've never, you know, done any of that stuff at all. So my business partner had a podcast called Success Champions, where he would interview people, and it was an hour long podcast. It was literally them getting to tell their story and do deep dives into all the really cool things they learned along the way. And he was getting 50,000 downloads an episode. And, you know, even without publishing on a weekly basis, he'd drop a new episode. It's like, oof, and it'd just be huge numbers. But he was tired of that. He's like, you know, let's do something different. Let's do a short format, 15 minute to 30 minute show. And let's talk about sales and growing your business and scaling and talking about all the stuff that we go through and that we've learned that we're now teaching to people and the current struggles and stuff we're going through. And I'm like, sure, that sounds fun. Yeah, I'll totally jump on a microphone and bare my soul to the world. That is an introvert's dream job. So, but we did it, and it's been really cool because he and I are actually really good friends. So there's a ton of banter. We give each other crap. We call each other out under the bus for the, you know, the screw ups we've done in our company. But it's all, you know, it's all about sharing that story. And it's been awesome for our followers and our clients and our members at Success Champion Networking to really hear that, hey, you know, we go through the same stuff that they did, or they are. And that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and it gets better, and things, you know, it's really a motivational thing for a lot of people, to hear us talk about all the stuff we screwed up and what we learned from it.
That's awesome. And I love the transition from an hour long format into something that's, easy to consume, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, that sort of thing. It's one of the reasons when I was looking at statistics about, you know, consumption time, I said, okay, I'm going to try, although I get into really interesting conversations that I hate cutting off, to stick with 30 minutes. And the only reason I mentioned that is because I neglected to remind you that it was only a 30-minute podcast before we hit record. Here's where I think we want to go. Cause we started talking about the fact that this is, a conversation around automation, but you talked about a bunch of things that could enter into relationship, positioning, sales process that happen in and around where automation can exist, can support. Yep. And so let's step back and talk about your philosophy, about what role automation plays, and then we can sort of explore different ways to apply it as it pertains to the way that businesses actually operate.
How would you like to become part of the More Perfect Marketing family? You can when you join our free online community, More Perfect Marketers. Inside, you'll get access to our collection of marketing cheat sheets to help you streamline your business growth, as well as the videos from David's Niche Challenge, which will teach you the counterintuitive approach to selling more by focusing on a narrower audience. To join for free, please visit mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. Now back to the show.
Yeah. So when I started out in the automation world, I was a sales consultant. You know, my original company, Time on Target, that I launched back in 2010 was actually speaking and training. And then I did a deployment over to Iraq and Kuwait. It was overseas for a year, and I came back and I had no speaking gigs lined up. I had nothing in my pipeline. I'm like, oh crap. I just discovered the major flaw in my business model, and it's me. I can't be gone. I had this realization that I hadn't actually created a company or a business. I'd created just a really cool job. So I did this huge pivot at that point where I was actually going into tech companies, cybersecurity, MSPs, software as a service, development firms, and we would help them actually launch a sales team. And we would help them figure out, all right, so what's the job description? How are you going to pay them? How are you training them? We teach them how to do the interviewing. And at the end of the whole process, they'd have a team of two or three salespeople that they were now outselling and hopefully generating revenue for them. As I was going through that, I discovered lots of part of that process that I didn't like doing, and lots of things that were actually choke points for being able to scale the company to where I wanted to be. So we kept niching down, and we niched down into really the process piece of mapping, going into companies and helping them map their sales process. And then really within that, helping them map how their clients make purchasing decisions so that we could make sure those two processes were going at the same speed and the salespeople weren't getting ahead, or, and, you know, they could recognize if a prospect was lagging behind, or if the prospect had sped up, so they could catch up and make sure they're in sync with them. And at that point, I had my next big aha moment as a business owner that I had screwed up again. And I realized that I was leaving, thousands of dollars on the table because I was outsourcing all the automation stuff. I was bringing other companies in to work with CRMs and to do email marketing automation and sale, all the sales enablement stuff. That was the term at the time. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to bring this in-house because I do all this for my company already. There's no reason I shouldn't do this for my clients and then get paid to do it. So then that's really where we focus on where we're at now, is doing the automation and figuring out how that integrates into a process and how it actually helps the company have more time. And that's really, for me, the bulk of what automation is about. It is there to help your salespeople or your owners or whoever is the proponent of that automation process to actually have time to do stuff that grows the company. You know, when I look at a sales process, I'm looking at, you know, what redundant tasks are you doing? Are you entering data in multiple systems? Well, how do we get something that pushes the data to all of them so you don't have to do that? How do we use email to get rid of the salespeople spending time trying to create their own content because they can't find what they need and doing it horribly and pissing off the marketers in their company because they're sending out stuff that hasn't been vetted? But then also getting rid of those redundant thank you emails or other communications that happen with every client at certain points. Mm-hmm. That the salespeople shouldn't be doing because they should be either out on a call with another prospect or they should be setting more meetings and filling the pipeline. And that's really what automation is. It's a way to become more effective and more efficient. And if done correctly, it's actually going to accelerate your sales process. You're going to close business faster and you're going to be closing better business.
So you've used the word automation because I started with that, but in our worlds, we talk about automating marketing and we talk about software that not automates, but that supports sales, that's sales automation. Is there a distinction really in the what these things are?
No, I don't think so, because, you know, you work with Keep. I'm an Entreport shop. That's what we use with the bulk of our clients. They have the ability to do all the marketing automation, to do all the drip campaigns and lead magnet delivery and, you know, all the tracking and all the cool stuff that marketing automation does. But all those tools can be applied into the sales process. And it's the exact same tool. You know, good marketing automation tools will have the capability to do your CRM stuff as well. You know, so you know, I can pull up on my Entreport and see my entire pipeline and know exactly where they're at in a nice little card view. So I don't have to, I have other CRMs that I use because I want to keep track of what they're doing and they work better for some clients. So I have them, but Entreport's really my main dashboard where I do all my sales and my marketing and my operational stuff. So, and that's really the power of a good automation platform is that it's not niche so much into just do, we just do email, you know. How do you also use those automation powers to improve your hiring process? How do you use those automation powers to publish your podcast on time? Mm-hmm. You know, all those campaigns and capabilities can be used across different business departments so that they all can get some benefit. And now your ROI from that one system has just skyrocketed.
Well, the example that you gave earlier about the replacing the varied quality of what salespeople might be sending out by creating systems, by having content that's done for them. Well, what it sounds like it does is it creates consistency so that the organization has the ability to measure their systems effectiveness rather than, well, this salesperson has a way of approaching people and communicating that's better than that salesperson. And so you have more control over the positioning, the messaging, et cetera, through using these sorts of tools.
Yeah, it's that. And it's also when you've put in those types of controls where, you know, you're sending out certain things to certain people at certain times, You've now entered in that consistency where you can actually measure what's different between different salespeople. And there's going to be those less variables. So now when you're trying to figure out why is salesperson A outselling salesperson B, you can now, it's easier to figure out. And it's now easier to figure out, oh, well, salesperson A is doing this thing in addition to our base process. Let's see what happens if we add that into salesperson B, or how do we take that and automate it so all the sales team does that same thing, and will everyone sell better?
Okay, so we're talking about sort of a random organization that has a team that might have multiple people, but very often, and you and I have both worked with businesses where it might be a solopreneur. Yep. It might be, you know, somebody who is the doer and somebody who is the seller, right?
Yep.
And it's not really, you know, full departments. I guess this is where I was going to go with this, is the fact that there's a lot of tools out there. You mentioned two of them, Keep and Entreport, but there's a lot of enterprise level tools that are more sophisticated, more expensive. And a lot of these tools have a really broad range of capabilities. Many of those capabilities are not usually necessary for every business.
Yep.
And so I'm sort of, you know, I've seen this before. I've walked into a company where they were a small local professional services business, and they said, and here's the tool that we use. It's called Marketo. And I was like, what? And for those who don't know what I'm talking about, it's overblown enterprise level tool for a small business. It's because that's what the people that they met and trusted sold them, because that's what that company specialized in.
Yep.
I'm sure you've seen variations on this theme all over the place, and I'd love to get your take on it.
Yeah, you know, on the sales automation side, you see people where you walk in, it's like, oh yeah, we have Salesforce. Awesome. Have you done any customization on it at all? Well, no, because we really couldn't figure out how to do that. I'm like, that I get you. I completely understand you. I have three friends that is literally just their job for their company. They make six figures. All they do is admin Salesforce for the business they work for. It's that specialized. And it's that complicated. When I would come across someone who had it, I would have to hire a person. I would have to find a Salesforce consultant. It's like, hey, I have a client. Would you like to do some work for me? Because I don't know what I'm doing in the back end. So, and it is really, and what I tell all my clients is you need to find the tool that does what you need it to do and has the ability for you to grow with it a little bit. You know, you don't need a Marketo. You don't need a Salesforce. You don't need HubSpot. You know, you don't need those big systems. I have some clients who, for what they're doing, MailChimp was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exactly right.
That is rare to hear a marketer say that, because we like to make fun of MailChimp or Constant Contact, but there are places where those tools are appropriate.
Yeah, for what they were doing and the type of communication we needed to do for them, MailChimp was the most cost-effective way to do it. They didn't need any real fancy automation. They weren't doing any lead notification or lead routing based on activities on a website, so we didn't have to worry about doing the pixels and tracking scripts and all that stuff. And they just needed to be able to send out emails on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And be able to stay in contact with their clients. So it worked out really awesome. But then I have other clients where we build out really complex campaigns that are tracking the life cycle of a client. And we needed to do certain things at certain dates based on data that's in their contact record. So then you need something more advanced, like a Keep or an Entreport, that can do that type of heavy lifting without you having to go check on it all the time.
Yeah, totally. And so how do you determine when you start a conversation with a business what their needs are with regard to, you know, the tools that they either want to get? I mean, often they'll come to us marketers and already think they know what they need. I'm curious how those conversations go in your organization.
So I practice a form of selling that we call informative selling. And it's something that kind of Donnie and I have come up with, how we close business. And it's really focused on really understanding what the issues are from the client and getting them to tell you their story, so that you can then jump in and really focus on. And we do a ton of teaching and a ton of brainstorming within those sales sessions. So by the time we get to the end of the meeting, we've probably completely veered away from what the client wanted to do. We understand what they wanted to accomplish. And as a collaborative effort over the past hour, we've usually come up with, well, you could do this and these types of things. And we've now come up with an even better plan that I can then say, all right, so for what we want to do, we need Entreport, because you need to be able to do these things. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, yeah, you want to do this, and this is solely a time-based campaign. I don't need any behavioral triggers. I can put you on MailChimp or Drip or some, you know, really low cost tool. But they leave having a better understanding of what they actually wanted to do and how they can get there. And that for us is really important, because we don't want to just come in and take an order from a client where they are saying, hey, we want to build out this campaign. It needs to do these things. And then, all right, sweet, I'll build it. It'll be ready in 2 weeks. We want to be a partner. So that is really key for us to be during that first meeting, to be able to really brainstorm and collaborate and come up with this whole cool new idea of how we're going to do stuff. I just did this with a company that's launching a partner program. They want to go from direct selling their products into having partners and affiliates that are pushing and promoting it for them. And then they want to help their partners grow their business. And they had a specific idea when we came into the meeting. By the end of it, I had completely flipped their idea on its ears. And we, instead of just a program, we now had three, targeting different people, doing different things, allowing different types of people to be successful and really feel like they're, you know, giving back to a company that they love. And they're like, sweet, how do we start? So, you know, I regularly tell people, and I have friends in the marketing that don't understand how I do this. I one call close, you know, $15,000, $20,000 marketing contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we've taken them through a process where at the end they feel even more confident about what they need. And they're excited to actually know that there's a route that they can take. So that informative selling concept is really key for working with companies, so that you're actually giving them what they need, not necessarily what they want.
You know, there's so many different approaches to selling, and this is not a podcast about sales. And so I don't talk about this with my guests very much, but I want to dive into this a bit because I'm not a sales expert. I don't have the background, I have the foundational knowledge, and I understand, you know, that there's the spin selling camp over here, yeah, and there's the Sandler camp over here, and there's other stuff that I don't really understand, you know, where they fit in. And so, I know what we do in our organization, which is very intentionally identifying and extracting pain and talking about the implication, yep, of not fixing it and all of those things. That sounds like it's very, very different from the conversations you've just described.
Yeah, it is. You know, I grew up, my first sales job, and I was horrible at it. I actually got fired from my first sales job with like in under a year, where I grew up in this world where they taught you how to use your pitch deck, and they'd give you the 3-ring binder with pre-printed pages that you could flip through as you were talking. It was like Kirby vacuums or Cutco cutlery, yeah, except in the corporate world, with better marketing budgets. I couldn't sell my way out of a paper bag. Do it that format. One time, and it just happened that I started just asking questions. And I started, instead of doing the binder, I just started asking them about their company and how they got going with it and how they ended up where they're at. And we went through this whole process. And at the end of it, they're like, this is awesome. How do we start? I'm like, what just happened? And this is nuts. And I was selling cell phones at the time for Nextel. Remember the walkie-talkie, mm-hmm, phones? Yeah. I learned how to be a badass salesperson with Nextel. And I started figuring out, all right, so here's what I did. That's the cool thing about being a high C introvert. You're analytical, so you look at everything you do and try and figure out why it worked and why it didn't. So I figured that out, and I put together a process of how I wanted to do the questioning and how I went from the really super safe, high-level questions. You know, how'd you get into your company? How'd you get started? You know, how many locations do you have? Down to the really personal level questions of, all right, so if you don't make your sales numbers this month, or if you have, you know, what's going on, and then what happens if that thing happens? Mm-hmm. That I was able to actually triple the revenue I was generating when I sold a client. Instead of just selling a $50 phone, I was selling a $50 rate plan, a $50 data plan, and then a $50 GPS package on top of it. Because I had figured out that, hey, you know, this phone, what if we could actually help you, all of your crews, do one additional job a day? Mm-hmm. What if we could cut down your mileage by 15% a month? Because you do dispatching better. And now that my phone became a revenue generator for these companies instead of just an expense.
So what I'm hearing you say is you were listening to their answers to the questions you were asking. You were then tying those answers to, okay, how can I solve this? And then you were presenting them with something that made sense based, yep, on the conversation you just had.
Yeah, other salespeople at the time were talking about, hey, here's our coverage map. You can talk with all these different places, and here's what it's going to cost you, and you get unlimited minutes. It was all the features thing. And I'm like, oh, I talked effects. I talked, what if we are able to do this for you? What if, you know, and we did a demo once for a company, and it was awesome. I was there meeting with them, talking about how the demo was going, and we pulled up the GPS tracking for that specific phone. And he looked at one of them, and he zoomed in on it, and he's like, we don't have a job at Mystic Lake Casino today. Mm-hmm. And one of our demos was sitting right smack dab in the casino in southern Minneapolis, Twin Cities. So he called the guy, and he's like, hey, Bob, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I just, you know, I'm at a client's, I'm doing this and that. And he's like, all right, when you get done today, stop into my office.
Yeah.
And he had discovered that some guy was shamming on the job. He was sitting at Mystic Lake gambling in the middle of the afternoon instead of running his routes. And he's like, you just probably saved me like a couple thousand dollars. And we haven't even started paying you yet. So it was all for me getting to understand the impact that we could have on them and stopped talking about the, you know, hey, your phones work here. And you get so many minutes and, you know, there's this really cool green send button. And it was all talking about, hey, we can do this. You know, how does your life change when this happens? And that's how I sell digital marketing and automation. It's like, what happens if I can free up an hour of your a day because you're not doing follow-up emails and you can actually focus on scaling your business? You can do more reach out. You can work on strategic planning for your business. And business owners like, that would be awesome. That's 1 hour back that I can do other stuff that actually generates revenue.
I love the way that you're describing this. And I'm thinking about, okay, how does automation actually help support this kind of discovery and pointing people in the right direction so that they then say yes at the end of that process? And I want to point out the fact that every time I say something about automation, I very intentionally use the word support rather than do.
Yep.
So I'm curious, you know, can automation play a role here?
Yeah, you know, in sales, it plays a huge role in supporting the salesperson. So the example I always like to use is for a roofing company. You know, they go out, they knock on a door, they do a measurement of the roof or windows or siding, and then they give pricing and they sell a job. Well, for a lot of small roofing companies, it's the owner that's going out and doing all that. So we had a client that we worked with and we set up the automation so that a new client scheduled a meeting. All that meeting information went right into our automation tool and it generated a task for the owner to complete a meeting. Mm-hmm. Just like with a CRM, would say, you have a task. And once that task gets done, he goes out to the client, gets the measurements, talks to them about colors and types and all that type of stuff and gets all everything he needs. He marks the task complete. And then that triggered an email to be sent the following day saying, hey, it was great meeting you yesterday. One of the big concerns we always hear from clients when we meet with them is that they're afraid that they're going to get scammed by a roofing company.
Okay.
So we've put together this really cool checklist for you of all the things you need to check on as a homeowner before you give a roofing contractor any money. Mm. And it's key content for those people because I don't know how it is for where you are, but whenever we have a huge thunderstorm or a lightning storm or hail, we get storm crews coming through. And so it's people from, you know, Southeast United States coming up to the Midwest and just going door to door saying, hey, we'll give you a free hail damage estimate and fix your roof. And a lot of them are fly by night companies. Let's make a lot of money quick and then subcontract out the work. And then we disappear. So everyone started to get smart about that. So the checklist was really key. Then once I was sent, there'd be another task generated for the salesperson or for this case, the owner to finish up the pricing and get that to the client. And once that's done, they mark that complete. And then another email sent out the next day with testimonials. Mm-hmm. And we had it set up to sort by zip code so that the person in one zip code would get testimonials from people within his area.
Oh, I love
his zip code or neighboring zip codes. So it was all local people. Mm-hmm. It wasn't someone in Bloomington, Minnesota getting a testimonial from Bill in New Jersey.
Right.
It was Bill in Bloomington getting a testimonial from Roger five streets over. Mm-hmm. And that was really key. And those are all things that now the owner didn't have to do. So it supported his ability to go sell, but then also run his company.
And so it sounds like the pieces of content in these communications, these emails, are things that you learned from that client, from that roofing company. These things come up all the time. This is consistently yep. stuff that people want to know. They want to know, hey, where else have you worked locally? They want to know, hey, is this the real deal or are you trying to scam me? And there's yep. probably a couple of other things that you can figure out. And so just thinking about what are the consistent questions that you're almost always going to be asked? Well, put them into some form of a follow-up automation between first meeting somebody and closing the deal.
Yeah, exactly. And what we do when we are building out this process for a client is really, we'll actually talk with to their clients. We will interview their clients and ask them a whole ton of questions to help figure out exactly what's going through their head at each step of their buying cycle, you know, what their buying journey looks like and what key things they're trying to get answered to be able to move on to that next step. And then you can really shape the sales process to make sure you're feeding the right information at the right time and that you can understand where in that buying process they're actually ready to talk to someone.
Got it.
And yeah. Now you're able to use that automation. You know, a lot of people are like, ooh, someone fills out a form, you got to call them within 5 minutes. No, how about an email? An email thanking them for the form and giving them their stuff and giving options for, hey, if you're interested in this, here's some other things. And then figuring out where in the process what the triggers are, or what the cues are that they're there to know that, all right, they are now ready to talk to Kevin. We're going to send this info to Kevin and say, you need to call them. They're ready to talk.
Yeah, I love it. In a moment, we have to tell people who might be ready to talk to Kevin where they actually can do that. But before we go there, you've just sort of given us a couple of examples of how automation can support all of these, you know, sort of pre-sales and selling components of a business. And it didn't sound like it was all that much to do, but it could be incredibly effective. And so I think one of the things that a lot of companies, and we talked about this before in terms of like the difference between MailChimp and the Entreport, type software, and then the enterprise level softwares, a lot of companies that are beginning to explore this or flirting with it, or they have something, but they don't utilize it properly, I think, you know, are confused about is how very simply it can be applied.
Yeah, totally. And that's my mantra for clients, especially ones who are just getting into the sales automation, marketing automation world. They usually come with these really big ideas. We want to do this really cool campaign that, you know, sends this and then does that. And we want to do all this stuff. And I'm like, that's awesome. That's really cool. We can totally do that. But let's scale down. Because what happens a lot of times, especially businesses that try and do it on their own and don't bring in an expert like you or like me, is they will get overwhelmed and it'll become too complicated. And then they won't build it quite right. So then they don't get the results they want. Then all of a sudden, email automation doesn't work. So what I talk to my clients about, especially when they're just getting started and they have really big ideas of where they want to be, is we help them figure out, all right, so what's the one thing that we can automate that's actually going to have an impact on your quality of life? And that quality of life thing is the big one for business owners. You know, awesome. If we sell more, that's really cool. But usually right up at the front, I want to make their life better so they don't feel overwhelmed from being the owner and that they can spend more time owning a company and building that company out. And then we can add on every little things as we go. In the military, I'm a veteran. In the military, we have a term called improve your foxhole. So in the concept is that when you enter into a defensive position, the first thing you do is you build your foxhole. You dig your trenches. Mm-hmm. And that's where you get some concealment and some cover. So, but the longer you're in a position, you keep continuing to improve that defensive position. You might put up some barricades. You might put up some claymores out front with tripwires. You might put out some concertina wire and different things to continue to improve your defensive position so you're not as vulnerable. You do the exact same thing with your automation. You start with one thing that's going to make some improvements in your life and have some give you some immediate results, and then you keep building onto it and you keep adding. And, you know, over the course of time, now you're going to have this really badass automation ecosystem that you've built out that's got all the bells and whistles, is doing all the really cool stuff, and it's firing on all cylinders because you did it in phases as opposed to just trying this big thing at once.
I love that, and I love the analogies to your time in the military. It's something that you actually proudly demonstrate and display all over your website as well, which is really cool. You've even, you know, named some of the things that you feature, like your Pathfinder sales assessment.
Yeah.
You know, and And so I think it's probably a good time to tell people what I've been referring to, which is the Time on Target website, which of course we'll link to. And if people do want to learn a little bit more about what you do and if and how you might be able to help them, I want to encourage folks to head on over to time-on-target.com. What will they find there? And if they're interested in chatting, what should they do there?
So they're going to be able to find out a lot of information about different things they can do with their business, with their sales processes, and how we help clients actually grow and build better companies. But the quickest and easiest way to actually get into my world and start figuring out, you know, how someone can use automation is to text the word sell smarter to 612-429-4298.
Okay.
And I will send them, once they send that in, I will send them a list of questions that they can use to help map out their client's buying process and a guide to what content is most effective for each step in their sales process. And then after that, they'll get some additional text messages from me inviting me to a Facebook group that's all about sales automation. They'll get a link to start listening to my podcast and some other ways to get into my world and start asking me questions and figuring out what automation can do for them.
Beautiful. Well, I'm gonna check out that that text campaign myself. I didn't write down the number, but Kevin's gonna give it to me, so I make sure it's in the show notes as well. And then we'll look forward to exploring some of the things that you have to offer, both in the Facebook group and elsewhere. So, Kevin Snow, thank you so very much for spending time hanging out and sharing your insights.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show. I thought it was a really cool conversation. I really enjoyed my time.
Well, thank you so much. Folks, this has been More Perfect Marketing. If there's something that you heard from Kevin that you think someone else in your world can benefit from hearing, please share the episode with them. And for now, this is David Baer with Kevin Snow, and this has been More Perfect Marketing. We'll see you on another episode soon. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.